שלום חברים, ברוך הבא לכל מקשיבים. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, רבי קהילת המשיח בתוך ישראל. Welcome my friends to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, the first division of our Hebrew Bible is known as Chumash. This word is very interesting. It comes from a root, chamosh, meaning primarily to arm, that is, to take to oneself armaments, and so to be strong, courageous, and ready for battle. But there is another meaning embedded in the root idea, quite a strange and fascinating concept. This further idea is associated with the number five. Indeed, if we make a verb out of the root, then chamesh means to divide by five. And if we make a noun out of it, chamesh means five. Now you will ask, what possible affinity of ideas can there be between the figure five and being armed and strong, ready for battle? Before I can throw light upon this enticing question, and thus arm you with a suggestive field of profitable exploration, I find it necessary to affirm my non-acceptance of the modern popular theory of evolution in religion. When such men as Tyndall, Huxley, and Haeckel popularized the now largely rejected evolutionary theories of Darwin and Wallace, where the origin of living creatures was concerned, the evolution epidemic became so widespread that it invaded the realm of religion and gave birth to the erroneous idea that man's religious concepts evolved from animism through polytheism, pantheism, henotheism, and deism until it emerged into monotheism. However, my friends, I have no hesitation in affirming that this theory of evolution in religion lacks the scientific evidence of both ethnology and archaeology, and I consequently adhere to the long-sustained viewpoint that the Bible is a revelation of and from God. Dr. McAllister, professor of anatomy at Cambridge, and a former president of the Royal Society, wrote, and here I quote, "I think the widespread impression of the agnosticism of scientific men is largely due to the attitude taken up by a few of the great popularizers of science, like Tyndall and Huxley. It has been my experience that the disbelief in the revelation that God has given is more prevalent among what I may call the camp followers of science than among those to whom scientific work is the business of their lives." That is the end of the quotation. Now, let us return to the association of ideas between armaments and the figure five. The actual word meaning five makes its first appearance in the Hebrew Bible as follows: "And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh." Poetically enough, this first use of the word five appears in the 5th chapter of Genesis, a chapter described in its first verse as the book of the generation of Adam. The word Adam means man, and so does the word Enosh. But whereas the former word relates mankind to his pristine condition before the fall, as bearing the image and likeness of God, the latter word Enosh means incurable, mortal, and suggests mankind's deplorable condition after the fall. Man is so constituted that he is related to the number five. He possesses five fingers to each hand, five toes to each foot, and employs the five natural senses of tasting, touching, seeing, smelling, and hearing. Yet, neither his moral and spiritual work, symbolized by the five fingers of his hands, nor his moral and spiritual walk, symbolized by the five toes of his feet, nor yet the unaided employment of his five natural senses, suffice to cure him from sin's sorry sequence, or to enlighten him to the ways and the will of God. Without the divine aid, Adam, mankind, remains inosh, incurable. But, my friends, the number five is also associated with the God who created man. The fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet being frequently employed as a symbol for God. And God has not left mankind without a bestowal in grace of divine aid and cure. In the Midrash on Numbers chapter 4 and verse 10, the five books of Moses are likened to the five fingers of the hand of God in the bestowal in grace of a five-fold divine gift. Our rabbis have also drawn attention to the fact that the word light appears in the biblical record exactly five times in relation to the first day of creation, and this five-fold usage is interpreted as corresponding to the light of Chumash, the five books of Moses. Since together, in over 100 past messages, we have now traversed these five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, this is surely the appropriate occasion to assess the spiritual treasures brought to light by God's great revelation to Israel and to all mankind. I have entitled this message, Five Faultless Floodlights, for so I regard our Chumash, our five books of Moses. What, then, have we found in their beneficent beams? The Palestinian Amorah, Chamarus Sepphoris, who flourished in the second century of the Common Era, is on record as saying, and here I quote him, "The Holy One will repair the damage of Adam's sin. He will heal the wound of the world." My friends, these are true words, but let there be no mistake about this. Chumash reveals that Israel's hope of healing does not lie in a process of redemption initiated and completed by man himself. But, on the contrary, Israel's hope of healing lies in a person who himself initiates and accomplishes redemption for and on behalf of Israel and all mankind. This person is the subject of divine revelation in the five books, as well as throughout the Tanakh, and unites in himself the three anointed offices of prophet, priest, and king. For this reason he is known as the Messiah. Messianic prophecy is therefore that view of the future which connects the eventual blessing of our suffering world with a person. Messianic prophecy is the true hope and heritage of Israel, and the five books of Moses and our great teacher Moses himself throw the first beams of illumination on this hopeful theme. Embedded in the third chapter of Genesis is what has been called the Proto-Evangelium, or the first announcement of the divine intention and method of the redemption of fallen man. The seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Here we have the first intimation of the coming one, and let it be observed that it was through the lips of God himself that the promise came. In the ninth chapter of Genesis, God identifies himself with Shem, and as Delitzsch observes, and here I quote him, "The Protevangelium announced a future salvation in the seed of the woman. The language here connects the name, the same with the name of God, which was to be entrusted to Shem. That is the end of the quotation. Genesis speaks twice more, indicating in the 12th chapter that the Shemitic seed of the woman was also the seed of Abraham. And in the 49th chapter, we have the famous prophecy of Shiloh, "He whose right it is, and to whom shall be the obedience of the Gentiles." Of this great person, the Babylonian Talmud asks and answers the important question, and here I quote the Talmud, "What is Messiah's name? His name is Shiloh, for it is written, 'Until Shiloh come.'" That is the end of that quotation. The amazing prophecies of Balaam arrest us with the promise of the star out of Jacob and the scepter arising from Israel. Moses himself then makes his own great announcement that the coming one would be a prophet like unto himself. As we shall see in messages to follow, it is left to the divinely inspired and illuminated prophets of Israel to interpret to us the divine human nature, the great redemptive work, and the chronological appearing of Messiah, the sent one, the coming one, the inaugurator and mediator of the new covenant with Israel, and the one who is the light to lighten the Gentiles. If we will follow the light of Chumash, these five faultless floodlights of messianic prophecy, we shall be armed indeed to identify the true Messiah Redeemer, nor will we fail to enjoy with thankfulness the great redemption he wrought for Jew and Gentile nearly 2,000 years ago. Chazak, Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha vihunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.